His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Matthew 25:21. I am Rob West. Those are the words every believer longs to hear. That's why it's important to regularly reflect on how we're stewarding the resources God has entrusted to us. Today, Rachel McDonough joins us to share three key scriptures and prayers to help guide us in faithful stewardship. And then on to your questions at 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, it's always a treat to have my friend Rachel McDonough back on the program. She's a certified financial planner and a certified kingdom advisor, and she has incredible insights about stewardship to share today. Rachel, great to have you back with us.
Thank you, Rob. Happy to be here.
Rachel, you have a great article on the Wealth Squared website titled Three Prayers from a Heart of Stewardship, and we'll, of course, put a link to it in today's show notes. But I want to highlight these three stewardship stories that you've found from Scripture.
Yeah, I found three stories that I think give us a clear example of how sometimes what appears to be wasteful might actually, in fact, be wise. And what appears to be wise may, in some cases, be wasteful if we're looking at financial principles only, and we do gravitate towards that straightforward principles-based approach where we can follow simple rules of thumb to save up for the future, protect against losses, and sort of win the stewardship game. But I think God has something deeper in mind for us in our stewardship journey, and he's really after our hearts.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And you're so right. I mean, we just gravitate toward those principles, and those are good. There's nothing wrong with them. But what's beneath the surface? And I feel like we don't talk about that enough. And so we're going to dive into that today. But that's really at the heart of this, isn't it?
It is. It is. And of course, the work that you all do here at Faith and Finance, and all of the amazing Christian teaching on stewardship, we don't want to dismantle those principles. But 1 Samuel 16:7 reminds us that man looks at the outward appearance, the Lord looks at the heart. So I think when it comes to stewardship, another way we might say that is man likes to crunch the numbers, but the Lord looks at the heart and weighs the heart of his steward.
Oh, that is so good. Well, we promised three passages and three prayers, so I'd love to dive into that first one.
Yeah, okay. Well, the woman who anointed Jesus, her story is found in all four Gospels.
Yes.
The setting is that Jesus is at a dinner party, and in walks this sinful woman. She breaks her bottle of fine perfume, which is probably her entire life savings, and she pours it all over Jesus. She is absolutely despised, scorned, accused of being wasteful, the worst possible waste, like her entire life savings gone. The disciples point out that the perfume should have been sold and the money given to care for the poor. But Jesus sees it a different way. He says she, maybe unknowingly, we would say probably unknowingly, but she had anointed him to prepare for his burial. So our principle is kind of this tithes and offerings approach to generosity and worship. But the lesson here is that when we live lives of radical, sold-out worship where Jesus is everything to us, we position ourselves to be in the right place at the right time to accomplish God's purpose and live in the kairos moment. That's a Greek term meaning the opportune time.
Oh, that is so good and so spot on. So, Rachel, with this lesson in mind, then how should we pray?
All right, well, one of the things we do sometimes is talk about praying and not actually pray. So let's actually pray.
Okay.
God, give us the eyes to see that the real treasure is you and not wealth, that you yourself are the prize. God, show us the opportunities that we have to pour out extravagant worship at the feet of Jesus. Give us the courage to go all in and hold nothing back, that pursuing you wholeheartedly is plan A, and we have no plan B. This life, Father, is short, and we want to care for the poor, but we don't want to settle for generic, mundane generosity that requires little of us, tithing our 10% and setting up our automatic monthly donations that we set and forget. Instead, Father, give us resolve to radically worship and pursue Jesus, that you might find us available for your purposes in the kairos moment, that we can live in sync with the rhythms of heaven. Amen.
Amen. Three passages, three prayers from a heart of stewardship. Rachel McDonough here today. Two more just after this break. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
We judge others by what they do and ourselves as well. We often think, did I work hard enough? Did I do good enough? We might carry that thinking into our faith, believing that if we just try harder, God will be more pleased. The Bible tells us something different. If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. That's from Romans 4. God does not judge us by what we do, but by who we believe in. Faith in Christ alone makes us right before God, and our works are but evidence of real faith, not the basis of salvation. Anchor Devotional can help you get into God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
We're talking the heart of stewardship today. I'm Rob West, Rachel McDonough here today. She's our good friend, frequent contributor. She's a CFP and a certified kingdom advisor with Wealth Squared. And we're talking about three passages and three prayers today that really get to the heart of stewardship. Now, we talked about one of them before the break. We'll address two more of them. Rachel, take us into this second passage.
Yeah, let's talk about the prodigal son. I think in this parable, we typically focus on the son. I'd like us instead to shift our attention to the father and look at him as an example of stewardship.
Okay.
So when we think about transferring wealth to the next generation, our principle is typically to say, hey, is the next steward chosen and is that person really prepared to handle the responsibility? But when we see the father in this story, he really gives us a glimpse into Father God's heart. And in this case, of course, the son takes off with half of the family fortune and squanders it. We would guess that the father probably knew his son pretty well and was probably expecting that things may not go super according to a wise plan if he entrusted his son with the wealth. And yet, the father allowed his son to make this very big stewardship blunder. So it would seem to us that this whole arrangement was not only unfair to the older son, but also just unwise. If there really was a true excess of wealth, again, like the woman pouring out perfume, shouldn't it have been given to the poor or brought to the temple? And yet, God doesn't seem to have that mindset around stewardship where he's worried about what mistakes are going to be made. In fact, in John 12, we see that Judas Iscariot was the disciple, the apostle, who was known as a thief and yet was left in charge of the money bag. And he used to help himself to whatever was put into it. So Jesus doesn't seem as concerned as we are sometimes about the mismanagement of funds.
That's well said. Well, I want us to pray together, but first set this up. What should we be asking for as God gives us a heart of stewardship according to this passage?
Yeah, I think as parents, especially for those of us who have children that we're raising or have raised, we want to see the value in the children themselves and in people and not just in money. And so training up our children and using stewardship as the training grounds, much in the same way that the Heavenly Father uses stewardship as a training grounds for us to disciple our hearts and to operate in faith instead of in fear or trying to control everything that happens with the next generation.
So good. Rachel, will you voice this prayer?
Yeah. Father God, give us eyes to see the real value is found in people and not in money. Give us tenacity to cherish and train up our children to know that you have created them to be world changers and that they can actually do way more to advance your kingdom than just our donations or even our impact investments. God, help us to ease up our tendency to want to control things, which comes from a spirit of fear, and instead to have faith that you can make all things work together for our good and for the good of our children and for the world around us. Help us to co-labor with your Holy Spirit, to cultivate in the next generation that desire and hunger to hear your voice and the desire to even do impossible things with you, that they might pull down the culture and the values of heaven into the earth and help them to teach their children in turn to do the same and let that blessing go on to 1,000 generations according to your word.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Rachel, this is incredible. One passage left concerning the heart of stewardship, and I know it's one our listeners will be very familiar with. We know it is the rich fool. And the story is of a farmer who has an unexpected large harvest. So, of course, he tears down his barns to build bigger ones to store his windfall. What should we take away from this?
Well, I think the stewardship principle here has to do with managing a surplus. What would we do if we put ourselves into that experience of having a big windfall, a big surplus come in? I think if you're like me, the first thing that you do is get some tax advice, set up some legal structures. Maybe you need a new trust account or an LLC set up, right?
Right.
But the problem with the rich fool is that he only consults himself. He doesn't consult God about the purpose of the windfall. He operates in this dangerous independence. And so he ends up saying, what should I do, self? And the advice that himself gives is, hey, you should store up and build bigger barns. And so he does that. And what happens is he really is becoming self-reliant, self-dependent, and he misses the opportunity to use the surplus for whatever purposes that God may have intended, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, it becomes so obvious when he says I and my over and over again. And so he thinks it's all as a result of his own effort, which, you know, we can be hard on the rich fool. We tend to do that as well and not recognize that God is the owner of everything.
That's right. That's right. So when we see the purpose of stewardship is never really accumulation or self-preservation, the money isn't supposed to replace God in our lives. God is our provider, right? So to protect us from the love of money and the deceitfulness of riches, let's pray together one more time.
Let's do that.
God, give us the eyes to see the purpose of stewardship is never aimless accumulation or self-preservation. It is your job to be our Heavenly Father and take care of everything that we need. And we trust you. Help us to trust you to do that faithfully. Protect our hearts, Lord, from the love of money and the deceitfulness of riches, They promise to provide for us. They promise to protect us and give us significance, but it's all a mirage. Wealth can never replace you in the throne room of our hearts. And when we feel mammon tightening its grip on our attention and on our affections, when we feel its gravity pulling on our worship, help us to wisely and quickly unclench our fists and give more of it away, lest we bow down to it. And help us to believe fully that it's actually very easy for you to entrust more resources to us when they are needed. And if you call us to steward a surplus, help us to see the purpose of that stewardship is not self-preservation, self-reliance, or self-indulgence, but instead that stewardship is about pursuing joyful, loving relationship with you as our King and with our brothers and sisters for all of eternity. For your family is the treasure of heaven. Help us, Father, to cherish what you cherish and thus become more like you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. That's incredible. You know, as you were talking about the rich fool, I was thinking about our study, Rich Toward God, that we produced last year. And I love this closing in the last chapter. It says, when our abundance is found in the person of Jesus, we become open-handed with our finances as we seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Generosity is no longer something we do out of obligation or to be seen by others, but it becomes something that flows out of a heart, a grateful heart that treasures God and longs to see others come to know and love him. And that's really the heart of stewardship, is that our lives reflect God's character to the world. We're image bearers of a relational and generous God. And you've captured that so beautifully today, Rachel. Thank you for sharing these passages and these prayers. I know it's been meaningful for our audience.
This is my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Rob.
All right. That's Rachel McDonough. She's a certified financial planner and a certified kingdom advisor and frequent contributor here at Faith and Finance. You can read more of Rachel's articles at wealthsq.com. That's wealthsq.com. Back with your calls after this, 800-525-7000. Stick around.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
The most rewarding thing about my job is that we get to build relationships through our donors and our supporters and get to have that personal relationship with them.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800
326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Well, what a treat to have Rachel McDonough here today. She's a frequent contributor and our good friend, joins us regularly, sharing just really the heart of God and stewardship. Her passions are impact investing, using our capital to deploy in a way that honors our values and seeks to make an impact in the world, even a kingdom impact. But she also just loves the idea of really aligning our hearts with God's in all facets of our stewardship. And, you know, that's so such a big part of what we're trying to do on this program every day, is just to help you have a healthy relationship with money. And that starts by putting it in its proper context, right? Because the moment it becomes an end rather than a means to an end, the moment it is our objective rather than a tool to be held loosely and used for God's purposes, it changes everything. And that's when we begin to love money. And remember, God's word says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. You see, it can compete with our hearts if we allow it to, but if we keep it in its proper place, well, it's a powerful tool for good to be used to enjoy and to provide, but really to give and to give generously and to be connected to God's activity. And boy, you know, that's what we want to do each day on this program, is just help you navigate your financial life. But we realize, too, that you have very practical decisions that you're trying to tackle each day, and we want to help you make those in light of biblical truth. So give us a call with your questions today, the number 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Coming up a little later in our broadcast today, we'll be joined by Jerry Boyer. We'll get Jerry's weekly market and economic commentary, find out what's moving the markets. The Dow started down nearly 1% today. The S&P and the NASDAQ off as well. Both the Dow and the S&P are heading for their fifth straight losing weeks. And so we'll get Jerry's take on all of that. Obviously, a softening in the economy, but still, I think uncertainty is the order of the day, given the tariffs and their potential impact on the economy, inflation, and so much more. Jerry will weigh in on that. Also, Walker Wildman with us today, updating us on some of the incredible work AFA is doing in corporate engagement. We'll look forward to hearing from both gentlemen in our final segment today. Before we take your calls today in the news, an important deadline is fast approaching for millions of retirees. If you turned 73 last year, the deadline for taking the first required minimum distribution from your 401k or IRA is April 1st. That deadline is sometimes confused with April 15th, the last day for filing taxes, but the RMD deadline falls 2 weeks sooner. Of course, it's usually best to take your first RMD in the year you turn 73 to avoid having to take two of them in a single year, but procrastinators are given an additional 90 days to take that first one. Now, if you turn 73 in 2024, but you haven't taken your RMD yet, you really need to go ahead and get that started pretty quickly. The penalty for not taking it on time is 25% of the required amount. If you miss the deadline, the IRS will lower that penalty to 10% if you withdraw the required amount within 2 years and file Form 5329. By the way, you could choose to make a qualified charitable distribution out of your IRA to satisfy your required minimum. That would allow you to give more and avoid the taxes. So just a quick reminder, because you know this is still a brand new idea for many retirees. If you're over 70 and a half, the only way to get money out of an IRA, which remember, went in pre-tax, so you didn't pay tax on it when it went in, the only way to get money out without paying the tax on it at that point, which is the way it normally works, is to have it sent directly to a 501c3 charity or ministry or your local church. If you do that, It comes out tax-free, which means there was never tax paid on it, which allows you to give even more because, again, no taxes have been paid. And you're satisfying, once you're 73, your required minimum at the same time. It's an incredible resource. You can do up to, I believe this year, it's $105,000. So quite a bit of opportunity there. And if you're wanting to give, for instance, to the American Family Association, connecting with our friends at the AFA Foundation would be great. They'd be happy. Riley and Chelsea and Jessica, they'd be happy to meet with you and explain how this works. But frankly, you could give it to any charity or your church. You just want to call your custodian, whoever has your 401k or IRA. Well, it's got to be an IRA, not a 401k, but you'd call your IRA custodian and say, listen, I want to make a qualified charitable distribution. They'll say, great, where do we send it? Just let that charity or ministry know it's coming and they'll receive it. They will, you know, give you a contribution receipt. You will show it as a withdrawal or a distribution on your tax return, but then there's a line below that that allows you to show that it was not actually taxable, that it was coming out as a qualified charitable distribution, and that's a great tool. All right, we want to take your phone calls today. We've got some time to do that, so if you want to get in on the conversation, let us know what you're thinking today. 800-525-7000 to Illinois. Hi, Aaron. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Yes, I have consolidated all of my 401ks into a traditional IRA. I turned 50 in February, and I'm wanting to know, can I take $8,000 out of that traditional IRA and move it over to a Roth IRA, you know, without any kind of penalties or anything like that? And then my other part of my question is I'm a former federal government employee. I work for the VA, and I've got these different funds. And what's happened since the statement that came out on December 31st, 2024, that my G fund went in the red big time, but my F fund and my C fund did pretty good. And I'm wanting to know how I need to allocate based on what's been going on now with the tariffs, you know, and such.
Yeah. Yeah, those are great questions. All right, let's do this. I'm up against a break here, but I'd love to weigh in on both that that Roth conversion as well as how you might think about allocating your thrift savings plan among those various options that are in that plan. So we're going to tackle that right around the corner. Aaron, you stay right there, and then we'll head to Texas. Cindy's church is looking to build a new building. And then we'll head to Iowa and talk to Michael. Plus, perhaps your question as well. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
In rural Malawi, baby Esther was taken in by her grandparents when her mother died. Resources were scarce, and Esther suffered from malnutrition for years until God transformed her life. Today, through Cross International, Esther receives nutritious meals, drinks clean water, and is taught about the hope found only in Jesus. But other children are still waiting. Make an eternal impact on a child now with a $62 gift at crossinternational.org/faith.
We're going to talk about the further issue, our response, who's behind this.
Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
Talk is cheap.
Honest, insightful.
Doing nothing is creating chaos in the world. Danger for America.
Sandy Rios informs listeners from a Christian worldview.
It's time to act in the polls, because I have to tell you, most of them are just doing nothing.
Listen on the podcast page at AFR.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. Before the break, we were talking to Aaron in Illinois. Aaron, your first question was related to what we call a Roth conversion, which is basically the idea that once we have money in a traditional IRA, we can convert any amount of that. There's actually no limits on the amount of the conversion. And remember, a conversion is different than a contribution. So with a new contribution, you are limited to either $7,000 or $8,000, depending on whether you're under or over 50 in a given year. And that annual contribution limit changes, by year. It usually goes up a little bit, maybe $500. But when you've already got the money in the traditional IRA, as you do, you can convert any amount to a Roth you want at any time. There's no cap on it. There's no age limit. You just have to recognize that whatever you convert, you're going to pay tax on in the year of the conversion. So were you looking to put the $8,000 from the traditional into the Roth because that you thought that was your limit, or was that just the number that you felt like was the best amount for you right now?
I thought it was not only my limit, but I didn't know that it was going to tax me, so I'll just stay with my traditional IRA.
Okay, yeah, because the Roth is after-tax money that grows tax-free, which is a nice benefit because you pay the tax now, and then you get all the tax-free growth. The traditional, whether it's a 401k or a TSP or an IRA, the traditional version, you get the deduction when it goes in, it grows tax-deferred, and then you pay the tax when it comes out. So by doing a conversion from traditional to Roth, you go ahead and pay the tax in the year of the conversion, and then from that point forward, you get the tax-free growth, not the tax-deferred growth. But you are correct. You would have that added to your taxable income in the year of the conversion. And if you didn't understand that and that changes things, then yeah, you'd want to pass on that. Okay, so let's talk about your TSP. What is your age, Aaron?
50.
Okay, so typically what I would say is, for a typical 50-year-old, and that's all this is just a rule of thumb, we would often take, we used to be 100, now people are living longer, so we take the number 110 minus your age, so that equals 60, and that would be the portion that we would put in, let's say, the stock allocation of your portfolio, and then the balance would be, 100% minus 60 that's going in stocks, the balance, which is 40, would go into bonds. So you'd end up with a 60-40 portfolio, 60 in stocks, 40 in bonds. And your G fund could be a part of that bond or fixed income portion. So that would mean that you'd use probably a blend of the C and the S and the I, which is the common stock fund, the small cap fund, and the international fund, for your 60%. And then for that 40%, you'd probably use the F fund which is the fixed income. And that would be a great place, you know, for you to be. Now, if you wanted to be more conservative than that, you'd, you know, you'd dial back that stock percentage. If you wanted to be more aggressive than that, you could dial up the stock percentage. But that would be at least a good starting point. Now, I'm a little confused, though, on what you're saying about the G fund, because the G fund has not lost value. In fact, it's really designed not to. You know, the one-year return on the G fund was 4.5%. The three-year annualized return was just over 4%, and the 5-year for the G fund was just under 3%. So I'm a little confused about that because you shouldn't have lost any value there. But I think to your bigger question, you know, perhaps that 60-40 portfolio might be the best option for you, just given your age and so forth. But give me your thoughts on that.
Well, I lost $21,392.72 on my G fund, and that's classified as a cash. And then the bonds is the F fund, and then the stocks is the C fund.
Yeah.
And so I did grow, though, you know, the C and F fund. Now, I was told to stay away from the S&I funds months ago. And, you know, when I call the thrift savings plan government and I'm on hold for like over 30 minutes, I mean, I told them to set me up how they would be set up. Now, you're saying maybe I need to look into S and the I funds now?
Well, I'm not going to tell you where you need to be. What I'm just saying is I think for a 50-year-old at a high level, we would typically say, you know, given that you're probably, you know, 10 to 20 years away from retirement, trying to grow wealth, putting it away, not taking a short-term view on what's the market going to do in the next quarter or even the next year or two, but what's going to happen over the next decade or two. You know, that's where I think a 60-40 portfolio is typically what most 50-year-olds would have. So you'd have 60 in the stock funds, and you could decide which stock funds. There's only three of them in the TSP. In the stock category, there's the C, the S, and the I. And if you wanted to stay away from the small cap, the S, or the I, the international, that's up to you. It just gives you more diversification, recognizing that in some markets, you know, domestic does better here in the U.S. Other markets, domestic lags and the international does better. In some cases, the big caps do well. That's the C. In other cases, the small caps do well. That's the S. So by having a mix of the three, you've got more diversification, which reduces risk. And then the F is the fixed income portion, and that would be the 40%. So that's just a thought or an idea. I do think you need to look further into this G fund because the G fund has not lost money. So there's something that's you know, not right there in terms of how you're interpreting that. And so I'd probably dig into that a little bit further. But I hope that gives you some things to think about, Aaron, both on the Roth conversion as well as the TSP. And we appreciate you listening today. Lord bless you. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Cindy. How can we help?
Yes, Bob. I was just calling. Our little church has outgrown our current building, and it's actually an old building that's kind of fallen down around our ears. But we wish to build a new building, and our estimate is we're probably going to have like $1 million to be able to do that. What would be your recommendation for the best type of financial institution to use?
Yeah, it's a great question. I would probably start with, and there are certainly many options you could pursue, but I'd probably start with our friends at Christian Community Credit Union. You know, they offer church loans, and there's several advantages, I think, of working with CCCU. Number one is just the faith-driven mission. So it would be aligned with your values because their whole cooperative is focused on serving Christ followers and ministries. And, you know, it supports a broader purpose because the funds are reinvested to help other churches and Christian causes grow. So there's a kingdom impact there. They have a ministry expertise. So, you know, they've got nearly 70 years of serving churches, and they understand the unique needs of ministries, whether you're building or remodeling or whatever it is.
and then they have a variety of loans. I think you'll find they're competitive and affordable as well, and just great customer service. So I would say that would be my first place. The website is joinchristiancommunity.com, joinchristiancommunity.com. You could set up a phone call, and I would probably start there. How does that sound, though?
Yes, thank you so much.
All right, excellent. Listen, all the best to you, Cindy. I know this can be a big project, but I'm confident if you all have a clear vision and communication to the church and you kind of take them on the journey with you as to how you connect this to real ministry, they'll go along with you. We'll be right back.
This weekend on The Stand Radio, attorney Philip Juregi will talk about a way to minimize activist judges and return our courts to their constitutional roles.
We have great principles in our Constitution. We've strayed from those in the last 40 to 60 years with courts legislating from the bench, but we don't have to go out and amend the Constitution. We just need to renew the principle that's already there.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson.
We have not been made the greatest nation in the history of mankind by denigrating God. We have become the greatest nation on earth because we are a nation that acknowledged Almighty God to be the source of our values, our rights, our liberties, and that therefore we are accountable to Him.
The Awakening on the podcast page at AFR.net.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Well, the markets have been under some pressure as of late. We'll get the lowdown on that. Plus, what's happening in corporate engagement, specifically the incredible work that AFA is doing in that space. With me in this segment, Jerry Boyer, our resident economist, and Walker Wildman right here from the American Family Association. Jerry, let's start with you. Obviously, we're looking for the fifth straight losing week in the markets. A lot of pressure, perhaps softening economic data. Uncertainty seems to be the order of the day. We also had a Fed meeting and those all important comments from Fed Chairman Powell. What do you make of all of it?
Yeah, well, let's kind of go backwards. The Fed comments. I mean, what a Fed says shouldn't matter so much. I mean, in an ideal world, it's just a lender of last resort. That's it. That's what it was created for. You know, there was the panic of 1903, and, you know, some people said, well, we shouldn't be so dependent on, you know, private entities. Maybe there should be a lender of last resort, as opposed to the micromanager of the economy and now the micromanager of markets. So markets shouldn't be responding to the Fed because the Fed shouldn't be so big and gigantic and powerful. But it is, so markets do respond to it. And the comments, and they're always trying to sort of like read the tea leaves or read the chicken entrails, like what does he mean? What is his tone of voice? And basically, it's been interpreted as you're not going to get a rate cut next time. You didn't get a rate cut this time. You're not going to get a rate cut next time. And the meeting after that, it's going to be a really small one rather than a large one. So all that is what they call hawkish, which means no stimulus money coming from the central bank, which means that to the degree that markets are held up by easy money, to that degree they are falling. And you know, you and I know, and this came up at the panel at Kingdom Advisors, you know, Bob Dahl said this, Brian Westbury, David Bonson, that you know, the Fed has really increased market valuations. A lot of the market performance over the past really 10 years has been essentially easy money. Well, if the Fed's not going to do easy money, then some of the, you know, some of the air goes out of that bubble. And that's what we're seeing. And by the way, that's why the NASDAQ, which is the tech stocks, the growth stocks, the more speculative, more bubbly part of the market is down more than, say, the S&P, you know, or the Dow. What's been doing actually pretty well is dividend payers. See, there's a little bit of back to quality, away from speculation, away from bubble valuations, and more towards, you know, companies that, you know, actually make a profit and pay dividends to people. We see is gold above 3,000. That's not a good sign. When President Trump said golden age, that's not the golden age I was hoping for. Which is, you know, the biggest risk hedge in the world is just, you know, gone above 3,000. That's not a good sign for the future. So I think markets are under pressure largely because the central bank feels that the trade war is likely to increase prices, which is actually probably accurate. A new tax on purchases, the price goes up. They're not going to, you know, ease money because they think inflation is likely to continue to be a problem. And also, the big thing is just uncertainty.
Yeah.
This trade war, not just a trade war. There's one thing to say, okay, here's the new plan. You know, the tariff is going to be, you know, 25% on China, 10% on Canada and Mexico. I think that's not good policy. But, it's going to be 25%. Oh, wait, it's not. It's going to be 15%. Oh, we're going to exempt. It's chaotic. This is chaotic leadership. And markets do not like chaotic leadership. Now, maybe the president is playing some kind of 5D Vulcan chess that I can't figure out. Maybe in the end, we'll get lower trade taxes, you know, because they'll be reciprocal and they'll cut their, you know, tariffs and then we'll cut our tariffs. Okay, fine. I hope that's the case, but for right now, it's not clear to markets that it is the case. And so that's why the markets have given back all the gains since before the election. Mm-hmm. Where the Dow is, the NASDAQ, they're all lower than they were. The markets responded very positively to the Trump election because of, you know, they thought that there would be good growth policies. What we've seen is that the growth policies have not been the focus. The anti-trade policies have been the focus, and now they're responding to that accordingly. So we've given back all the Trump trade. Went from a very strong positive to a negative when it switched to a focus on trade wars.
Yeah. Now, obviously, the hope is, Jerry, that some of the painful actions like the resetting some of the imbalance with trade through these tariffs, we get out of the way early. And then we let over the balance of the administration some of the deregulation and other pro-growth and cutting taxes play out alongside DOGE. And, you know, maybe we get beyond the tariffs and then the last, you know, few years accelerate toward, you know, the ultimate outcome he's hoping for. But, you know, a lot of that remains to be seen, right?
Yeah, it does. That would be the hope and even my prayer. That doesn't always go. Things don't always go according to hope. And I can tell you, if the people were paying close attention to the first Trump administration, when he focused on the trade war, that was bad for markets. It's when he shifted attention away from that towards the Trump tax cuts that markets really did well and the economy did well. So people look back and say, was the economy good or bad under Trump? Well, I'm supposed to be a professional, so I don't just ask a question about 4 years. I ask a question about each of those 4 years differently. Yeah. When his focus was on growth, it was good for the economy. When his focus was on punishing trading partners, that was actually bad for the economy and markets. So it's not Trump good or bad for the economy. It's which Trump. To the degree that he represents kind of the Reagan point of view, growth economics, to that degree, things have gone well. When he gets more into the Nixon mode and really it's more like the Democrats, you know, the trade war stuff, to that degree, the economy does poorly. I can tell you that when he did the trade war last time, we actually got worse trade deficits with China, not better. Why? Because, well, so we're not going to buy from China. Well, then China sells to Vietnam and then we buy from Vietnam. In the end, China actually got more trade surpluses. They just put it through other trading partners. So this kind of thing is hard to do. I just think we're not realistic about how much we can reshore manufacturing jobs when our population is demographically declining. I don't know who's going to work in these new factories. If we go back to like a big factory manufacturing increase, who's going into those factories? Because more people are retired, more people are becoming 65 than are becoming 18 every year. Mm-hmm. So our working age population is shrinking, and we already have a labor shortage. So where do we get the workers? Are we going to have massive new immigration? That doesn't seem to be an appetite for that. Mm-hmm. So I would really hope the president would get back to what worked in the first term, which is, you know, tax cuts across the board, pro-growth policies. And sure, you know, a little bit of stuff on the trade side. China's a geopolitical rival. I think punishing them does make sense for geopolitical reasons. But Mexico and Canada aren't. So and they're pretty close trading partners, and it's pretty chaotic to be doing on-again, off-again tariffs with them. Now, by them, it makes it sound like I'm fiercely anti-Trump. I'm not at all. I love most of what the president has done, but this is what he's doing now, right? So I'm going to talk about – so I've been praising him effusively since November, but the trade war thing over the past month, you know, not that has not been going well. So get back to what works. He's a pragmatist, right? Well, that's pragmatic.
Yeah, that's well said, Jerry. We'll certainly continue to monitor that. I know you'll keep us informed along the way. And the good news, as we pivot here in a moment just to corporate engagement, is the ultimate barometer, not CPI, it's eggs, Jerry, and eggs are down. So we're looking better.
A lot of attention focused on the eggs, and I'm glad eggs are down. That's good. Yes. If everything else goes up, though, it's still inflation. Yeah. So I'm going to replenish my chicken flock over the next couple of months, just to be sure.
That sounds good. All right, let's turn the corner. It's been a couple of weeks since Walker's been with us. Walker Wildman, of course, from AFA. And Walker, I know you've been, among other things, hard at work on AFA's actions in corporate engagement. Tell us what you've been working on.
Yeah, basically how I would summarize this year's shareholder meetings is both ESG and DEI are dying a slow death. Both ESG and DEI are dying a slow death. And the reason we know that is because we show up at the Apple shareholder meeting last month, and there are zero left-wing proposals. It's all conservative, pro-fiduciary proposals on the ballot. So that's a big, big deal. And that's similar with some of the other companies as well. Now one thing I do want to warn us and our audience about is a basic rebrand of DEI policies. This is something we're going to have to keep an eye on, and that is the Marxist and the left-wing factions of these companies basically rebranding DEI into something else, calling it something else, but effectively doing the same type discrimination. So that's just something I want to warn the audience about in the years ahead, is to make sure that DEI doesn't resurface under a different brand. That's what the left often does. But overall, you know, the pro-fiduciary, the pro-business, like companies focusing on their core business functions and serving customers and goods and services, that's pretty much dominating these boardrooms in recent years and recent months. So we're on the right track, but we've got to keep up the pressure.
Well, thanks for leading the way, Walker. You're doing an incredible job, you and the team at AFA. Jerry, just a minute left. You know, what Walker just talked about is something you and your team are on high alert over, and that is, you know, these corporate resolutions under the guise of a name that sounds good when it's in fact not, right?
Right. DEI, the E doesn't stand for equality. It stands for equity, which is basically anti-equality. We should treat everyone with equal dignity and not have preference, including racial preference. And that's the ideal that caused America to grow, as opposed to Marxist, which is equal outcomes. So AFA has been leading the fight against that.
Yeah, that's great. Well, gentlemen, keep up the good work. Walker, always appreciate our time with you. Jerry, good to have you, my friend.
And you.
All right. Folks, that's Walker Wildman, Jerry Boyer here in our final segment today. If you want to engage with AFA and AFA Action and even learn more about what they're doing in corporate engagement and perhaps in the days ahead, some tools to equip you from AFA to lean into your own proxy voting, that's coming down the pike as well. We'll continue to talk about it and shine a light on it here in the days ahead. Thanks for being along with us today. Big thanks to my team today, Sandy Dickinson, of course, Jim Henry, and Devin Patrick, my producer, and everybody here at FaithFi. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.